Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
You have to have a duty, right? You have to show a duty. That's step number one, that you can't, you owe a duty to others not to harm them in some unreasonable way. So you have a duty.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Right, Gobert can't go around being careless and reckless and harming other people. So you have a duty, you have a breach of that duty, because, right, he's admitting to what he's doing.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A really brutally unfair liner from Beards. Holy smokes, Beards. I think you have a duty not to do our guest like that. That is a rude way to welcome someone into our radio home. Well, you wouldn't know it by that liner, but the ever eloquent, ever professional Daniel Lust joins us now. Sports attorney, as his Twitter now says, which I like this a lot, Dan, heard across ESPN, CBS, Fox Sports, maybe most importantly, right here on Sports Radio 810. You can follow him on Twitter at SportsLawLust. Always an excellent follow for everything that ends up colliding between sports and law. It happens all the time. But first, Dan, would you like to press charges against Beards for the intro?
Oh, man, I was not expecting that. That's the intentional infliction of emotional distress. And Rudy, we will not be talking about the duty to me to slug you in the face next time I see you.
If you're ever in town, Beards is going to take off. I would like to say in this public setting, I had no idea that liner was even in the arsenal.
I made it during the break.
Oh, wow. It's powerful.
When he wants to do his job, he gets it done very fast.
Yeah, unlike the NCAA and also the Senate. Boom! Already segued back to it, Dan.
I'm very impressed at that line. I think it was, listen, I used the pandemic to hone my interview skills, and we will not be talking about duties on top of duties on top of duties. Don't cut that one either.
I mean, you probably could have guessed, but by the end of the word either, Beards had already marked it. So it's nice to know. It's nice to know we'll have a new intro for you next time, or that we'll end our relationship here on a high note, because maybe you'll just stop returning my calls, and I wouldn't blame you after what Beards just did to you. But man, yeah, slow couple of news days though, Dan. Not a whole lot going on right now in the sports and legal department, huh?
Is that your excuse for saying this is why you gave me a ring? Because you have nothing to talk about that you want to talk about?
No.
What went on at the Senate hearing today, Josh?
No, I actually, so what the truth of it is, I didn't realize there was a Senate hearing today. And actually, I was planning on talking about some name, image, likeness stuff. And this was all happening. I was being facetious, of course, because I actually think that what we saw today was super interesting, highlighted by a bunch of sitting U.S. senators absolutely dunking on Mark Emmert 4 feet in front of him. That was my favorite part of today.
Yeah, so I guess dating back a couple months, we had that Supreme Court hearing, NCAA versus Alston, and, you know, the judges took their time and took their shots beating up the NCAA's lawyer, which is fun, right? People are beating up the NCAA. But it's not like Mark Emmert is sitting in the front row.
Right.
You have senators across the country on the left, on the right, saying that the NCAA is incompetent. They're a bunch of overpaid, you know, incompetent idiots. And meanwhile, they are gesturing at Mark Emmert. So, yeah, not a seat you want to be in by any means today.
That's so good. So can you, for the layman here, can you explain sort of the procedural thing that how did, because I saw some people tweeting about this, how did this end up in front of the Senate today?
So I guess taking a couple steps back, I think why they had this hearing is important, but I think when they're having it is also very important. So, you know, the NIL, this name, image, and likeness context, is very complicated. I think the easiest way I can explain it, people say, like, when they see, you know, the NCAA is going to be paying college athletes, they think, like, hey, the NCAA might cut them a check or the schools might cut them a check. This is really just a fancy way to say that these guys have an entrepreneurship license. Like, they can go out and sign endorsement deals that don't otherwise exist. The way I try to explain it, it's like, hey, these schools aren't paying them. They are creating a new stream of revenue. If they have, you know, 100,000 followers on a TikTok, maybe they can get some type of endorsement, something that the school wouldn't otherwise get. So Yeah, the money is not being taken from Peter to pay Paul. The money is just being created seemingly out of thin air. So as of July 1st, there will be at a minimum of 5, at most 10 states in our country. We can get into them if you want to figure out who's getting the recruiting edges and all that stuff. But we'll say 10 states that will be allowed their in-state athletes to be able to sign endorsement deals and make money, you know, while they're being a college athlete. So that's July 1st. And no coincidence on timing, this is June 9th. So this is kind of the last stand. If the Senate is really going to get their act together with a federal bill, which is a fancy way of saying federal bill, is another way of saying, hey, all 50 states are going to have this, right? It's not going to be 10 states have this and 5 states have this different kind. They're all going to have a uniform one way to approach name, image, and likeness. So the NCAA is asking for it. States are kind of asking for it. So it's just kind of a matter of getting these politicians to get their act together.
Well, yeah, and so, I mean, it seems like everybody wants, the one thing that everyone can agree on is uniformity. Like, I don't think that anybody, other than maybe, the few states that right now would have an edge, generally it seems like everybody wants to at least have an even playing field. But what specifically then are we waiting on in terms of the Senate making some sort of ruling? Again, you say it runs through the Supreme Court. Is this an issue of the NCAA needs to be told that they have to change their rules? Is there a legal workaround right now? What would be the step that would create some uniformity that would happen next?
I mean, you know, I think the threat of chaos occurring on July 1st is probably it, and concerned, people that live in various jurisdictions, they're calling up their senators and complaining that, hey, my college football team had 50 players enter the transfer portal. And they're all going over to Alabama. They're all going to, the Florida schools. So, I mean, here's the thing. Like, there will be chaos. I don't want to, make that lightly. Like, if there's a world where Florida, FSU, Miami, all the Florida schools, Georgia, Alabama, if they will get a sizable recruiting edge for every high school athlete, every 5-star recruit, 4-star recruit, that is going to have some real impact on college sports. So there's no kind of ifs, ands, or buts about it. Right now, those 10 states, we'll call them 15. There's some that have, name, image, likeness that's going to pass in August and September, but they're going to pass at some point in the next six, seven months. So there are the haves, the have name, image, and likeness very close by, and there are the have-nots. So the other 30 states or some other 35 states that have literally zero, they don't have anything. Now, Josh, you asked kind of what's kind of driving this. The NCAA, for about a year and a half, has known that this was happening because California passed fair pay to play, at the end of 2018. That was, way pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, this is going to go into effect in 2023. So the California was very kind to the NCAA, and they said, hey, you don't have to figure this out for 4 years. But Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, all these states with this July 1st, they said, you know what? California did a good job, but we're going to cut that deadline in half. And we're going to, basically enact chaos on the NCAA unless you guys can figure out name, image, and likeness and at least create some baseline for those other 30 states that have nothing. But Mark Emmert, in his infinite wisdom, has sat in his hands and has done absolutely nothing. So, yeah, that disparity between the have and the have-nots, it is very vast as we sit here today on June 9th.
Could the NCAA have just fully never had to go to court, to the Supreme Court, never had to go to the Senate, if they would have just said, hey, we're going to adopt name, image, likeness rules? Because it doesn't seem like they would need legal permission for people to make money off of their social media accounts, right?
Yeah, I don't think the states would have put this at such a high priority. Like, California, I mean, I joked online, like, it's a bipartisan issue, people hating Mark Emmert, right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Everybody hates Mark Emmert. So when California passed this rule, fair pay to play, senators and politicians, right, they're human beings. They want their constituency to love them. They want to get reelected. So they're like, hey, you know what everyone loves? A bill to pay college athletes. Let's do that. But California only passed fair pay to play because it was an issue in the state. Athletes were complaining that they weren't able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. So now the NCAA has their back up against the wall because they have no control over these laws that are being passed at the state level. States are going to control, the schools. And then federal government's going to control the state. So all of a sudden, the NCAA is sitting on their hands for 100 years. It's a little bit of karma. They don't get to control these laws that are being passed. And if they had done something, Josh, to your point, 20 years ago, whatever, maybe 10 years ago with the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit with the death of EA Sports college video games,
yeah,
they could have gotten ahead of this, but they continued to sit on their hands.
Which is one of the points that, got made at least a few times based off of your, Twitter feed today. It was essentially, we can't trust the NCAA to do anything other than to just be sort of obstructionist here, which I think you would have pretty good examples of that happening throughout history. One of the things that I didn't really spend any time thinking about before today, and I certainly don't fully understand to this point, is the idea of there being some sort of revenue sharing elements within all of this. That might be, I don't even necessarily know where that is coming from or headed, or, what the different elements of that would be. Can you give us a, crash course on, that element of it?
Sure, sure. It's not all states, but there are some states that have proposed legislation that essentially would say, well, actually, let's take one step back. In a free market, that's when people talk about antitrust laws, which is very complex, we probably, you know, we're not going to go into the weeds, and then Rudy's going to clip it and make me sound like a complete idiot, so we won't talk about antitrust law. But, you know, the opposite. I get it at this point. It's fair. But, you know, a free market is what, you know, the American economy is supposed to function. People can do whatever they want, and they get to kind of, you know, get what they give into it. So in that world, if someone's like a pure, you know, free enterprise type of guy, they'll say, hey, you know, college football, college basketball, those are the real money makers. And, you know, those guys are making the money. So why should that money, instead of going to those athletes, be redistributed across all these sports that college football players and college basketball players have nothing to do with, right? It's paying for baseball, for swimming, for softball, for track. Right? Those sports aren't traditionally money makers. So in this quote-unquote revenue-sharing model, I think at least the context I'm hearing it, is that the money would stay within that particular sport. It would go to football players. It would go to basketball players. So that's why you have the president of Howard kind of talking about, hey, we can't really enact this name, image, and likeness so quickly on a federal level, because there's a chance if it's not done appropriately, it could really be a death knell for some lower-level sport. So people are throwing out revenue sharing as a way to maybe, you know, in a sense, do the more fair thing for athletes. But I think there's, you know, a little bit of caution in saying, hey, it's great to pay these athletes, but this economy and this infrastructure of college sports is, you know, it's not really so normal that, like, college football, college basketball are keeping all the other sports afloat. So if you take that money and you give it to the athlete to take it away from the school, yeah, there is a real risk, I think, of other sports being harmed by that.
What did you hear from Mark Emmert today that made you, more than anything else, raise your eyebrows or be surprised by what you were hearing?
So I always, guys, I try to give you one legal word to make you a little bit smarter.
Yes.
Obviously, in that appearance that Rudy had, the word was duty.
It's duty, which, yes.
You know, yeah, that was the word of the day. D is for duty, D-U-T-Y, for you sickos out there. Okay, let's be very clear here. The word of the day today is injunction. Josh,
yes.
Do you know what injunction means?
You've used it on this show before, but if I had to describe it right now with a gun to my head, I'd tell you to just pull the trigger already.
We are not pulling the trigger, Josh. You're not dying on my watch, soldier, okay?
I really appreciate that.
So an injunction is a really fancy way in the law of saying we are going to block this thing from occurring. And you ask a court, hey, we need to block this thing from occurring right now, because if it goes forward, irreparable harm can be caused to me. So could be in any, you can have an injunction in any number of contexts, right? Like, for example, right, if your house was going to get sold because you forgot to pay the mortgage, you could sue the bank to get an injunction and try to block the sale. That's a fancy way of saying it. So us lawyers, this we sit and we kind of ponder about what's going to happen here. And we've said we think that there's a world where July 1st is coming up, everyone's all excited, athletes are going to get paid, and the NCAA files an injunction against all of these various states, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, all the states that have passed NIL, and they say, hey, listen, unless we block this thing, irreparable harm will be caused to college sports. Well, and the court would go, what's the irreparable harm? All of the recruiting battles would go to those particular states, which is probably what will happen. I don't think that that's that crazy. So if the NCAA does that, that July 1st deadline, or you know whatever you want to call it, that date on your calendar, will get circled, and then you'll keep pushing it back indefinitely. And the NCAA will say, hey, we just need a little bit more time to figure it out, right, to make the NCAA version of name, image, and likeness. Or maybe they're pushing it back to buy the federal government more time. I will tell you right now, Josh, 20 days, 21 days, whatever we are, till July 1st, is not enough time for the federal government to figure it out. Now, you asked me, what did I learn from Mark Emmert? This really, well, cool. I don't really know anything about him, but guy Brian Schatz, over a senator in Hawaii, he goes to Mark Emmert directly. are you guys planning to file an injunction against the states that have passed NIL laws? So Mark Emmert, in his infinite wisdom, he goes, we've had a lot of conversations about it, but a decision has not yet been reached. That is not a ringing endorsement for someone that is not planning to file an injunction. Mm. That sounds an awful lot like someone that is planning to file an injunction, just didn't want to say it yet because he wanted the element of surprise. But Josh, that's why you have me on.
Yes.
I sniffed it out.
Yes.
I think that's exactly what he's planning to do.
So what's the benefit of that, or what is the strategy behind that?
I mean, think about it. Like, you guys, right, there is no name, image, and likeness where you guys are, right?
Right.
So you guys Jayhawks fans? Is this a Jayhawks network?
I mean, it is a Jayhawks network. Beards is a KU fan. Rudy kind of is.
I went to Kentucky, so I'm a Wildcat.
The home of the Jayhawks here, Sports Radio 810.
Okay, watch this. There's you're Kentucky, there's the Jayhawks. Neither of these, both basketball powerhouses, neither of those states have name, image, and likeness laws that are going to affect on July 1st. So the five-star recruit, if he's deciding between Kentucky and Tennessee, right, and let's say U of F, same deal with the Jayhawks, they're always going to go to those NIL schools. So what's the wisdom behind this? You really could, in theory, right, like, I don't know, ruin the balance of college basketball if all of these NIL, you know, states got all the top recruits. I mean, there's a world where that happens. We had a record number of players enter the transfer portal, and I'm sure when they start emptying out of the transfer portal, we're going to see that the numbers reflect that they're going to NIL schools. So, yeah, I think the NCAA might have a point there, that irreparable harm would be caused unless they try to buy more time to the federal government to figure this out. If a federal bill comes in, and maybe I think this is important. Actually, you know what, Josh? I'm gonna quiz you here. What's the drinking age in our country, Josh?
It's 21 years old, I believe.
See, you know that one. You just don't know injunctions.
Yeah. Well, the legal drinking age was important to me much before the word injunction was.
That's totally fine. Same here as well. I didn't grow up as a lawyer.
You know what? I think I'm realizing now that I'm now imagining baby Dan Lust, and you are in a full suit, and your hair looks exactly as good as it does right now.
I actually had a monocle in when I was an infant, so that makes sense. So I mentioned it, like, you know, the drinking age is 21 across the country. Why is that? Because there is a federal law on the books that makes it uniform. When my parents grew up, and I'm sure your parents, the drinking age was not the same in every state. So you could go across state lines, and some places the drinking age was like 19, and you would drive across state lines, you'd have a drink, go to a house party, and come back. So you don't want people to, what we call, it's a term called forum shopping. You don't want people picking a venue because they can get favorable laws. Mm. If the federal government comes in, it doesn't matter, you know, if they have a good federal bill or a bad one, it's everyone's federal bill. The drinking age is 21. All the states, Kentucky, Kansas, Kansas State, all have to abide by the same laws. So for better or for worse, it's a clean rule. So that's why NCAA, that's why, you know, everybody is hoping the federal government gets off their you-know-what and gets their act together. So, yeah, I'm hoping that's what happens, and I don't really root for the NCAA to do anything, but I think an injunction does make some sense here.
One other thing from this today that I thought was kind of interesting, just something that I hadn't really considered much. I'm not sure how it would logistically work. Mark Few, Gonzaga's coach, talked about the idea of the we don't need a market cap, that the players should be able to get their fair market value. I mean, I guess that they could have players go through some sort of, like, very litigious reporting of whatever their income was off of their likeness and everything, but what do you think the likelihood is that there would be some sort of cap? Do you have any feel for what the logistics of that would entail if they did try to go that direction?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. I will say, you know, it's for the sports fans out there, Mark Few kind of went up today, head coach of Gonzaga, was probably one of the star witnesses, along with Mark Emmert, and he said there should not be any type of cap on what athletes should make. It should be a completely uncapped world, according to Mark Few, and people should just be able to make fair market value. So, you know, to use Tim Tebow in Gainesville, you know, at the top of his peak powers, what is Tim Tebow make in Gainesville? $25 million a year.
The guy was
a god.
Yeah,
the guy was like an absolute god in Florida. So that's how Mark Few, he had a big platform today to speak to it. You know, if that's really his opinion, I'm sure recruits are going to love hearing that. They're going to love that a school is trying to pump up their players. And, like, it's a really easy way to make yourself look good in the eyes of high school players and whatnot. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think there's a real – actually, I take one step back. How do you track that stuff, Josh, which is a really good question. So there was a senator today from Nebraska who kind of raised this point. Like, you have – potential a federal bill that could be out there, maybe. But as of right now, you have state NIL, you have the NCAA's weird rules, and then you have your school's interpretation of these different rules. So you have kind of like three levels of checks and balances. Mm. So the senator goes, listen, it's great, you know, it's a great recruiting edge, but like for these student athletes, it's really hard to manage. Mark Emmert, what are you going to do to manage this for this compliance nightmare, this pyramid and myriad of issues? What are you going to do? And, you know, obviously Mark Emmert said absolutely nothing, and he filibustered his way out of the question. But, yeah, I think it's a fantastic question. I don't really know how they track that. I really don't. And, again, I don't think that's something that gets figured out in 20 days,
yeah,
which is why they gave the NCAA 18 months to figure it out, and, you know, they've really done very little.
I'll leave it on that, because that feels like a pretty good bow to put on it. I wanted to check in on one other thing that sort of popped back up into the news feeds today with Deshaun Watson. Apparently, you know, there's some people that think that he wants to go to Denver, and that was shortly followed up by, I think it was Ian Rappaport, who said that he would love to go to Denver, but that it's not like it's the only place that he'd go and all of that. And it made me a little bit uncomfortable to be, like, straight back into transaction talk for Deshaun Watson whenever things have been sort of oddly quiet, at least in my eyes, oddly, maybe not for you. Things have been pretty quiet, though, on the front of all of the sexual assault allegations and the various forms that that took. I don't know why it's been quiet for as long as it has. I don't know if you have any expertise or even just a good educated guess as to why it's been a little bit more quiet on the Deshaun Watson front lately, but it does feel like it's been a slow month or two.
Okay, watch this. Here's my educated guess. Are you ready for this, Josh?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So I was going to say something borderline inappropriate, but I can't with Rudy here because he'll just clip it for eternity. It was probably going to be some sort of a Beyonce lyric, but we'll put it on the side. Okay. So, you know, what we did see, there was a period from about, I want to say, the end of April to the beginning of May, where we also similarly did not hear anything. Mm. And then right in the middle of May, which I don't know if you caught, but there was a really big development. And then again, nothing for the last about a month. So what happened in the middle, right before that, right after that first period of silence, both sides came out and said that they were in the middle of settlement talks, and the settlement talks fell through. Now, who initiated the settlement talks was at issue, you know. Deshaun Watson's side said the other side initiated it. The other side said that's not true. But we do know that settlement talks occurred. Rich Eisen had reported that during the draft that they were very close to a settlement of all these cases. So Rich Eisen's probably keyed in to some extent. He's probably not wrong. And it seems to be undisputed that some type of settlement talks occurred. Settlement would be a reason that both sides have stopped talking. Why? Because, you know, if you say something really mean about someone in the media, you can't really take it back. So when you're getting close to a settlement, sometimes you don't want to say the thing that's going to go nuclear. So, yeah, we know that's why the first period of silence occurred, and now it's happening again. So I don't think it's crazy to think that settlement is possible. Now, the bigger question, if they do settle, right, does that make Deshaun Watson free and clear to get traded to Denver or Philly or all these crazy places? Short answer is no. I've been on the record. I've tried to be pretty clear. I think Watson, his lawyers have kind of walked him into a hole. Either he's, personal conduct policy, the NFL says you can still get a suspension if you settle a case. So put that aside, number one. And that would be a suspension based on civil sexual assault. I think his lawyers have kind of walked him into a hole where they may have admitted that maybe he didn't commit sexual assault, but he was engaging in some form of prostitution. Like, jokes aside, he's saying that there was money that was exchanged for these services. So it's either consensual prostitution or it's non-consensual assault, both of which I think are suspendable offenses. So I don't know. I do think a suspension's coming for either of those trees you take.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I hadn't thought about that. And the other thing with the potential settlement that always sort of sticks with me is that then they came out very early on the Watson side, said, we're not going to settle. We're going to fight this the whole way through. It seems like, if I had to guess just based off of a few years of paying attention to stuff like this within sports, it seems like the most likely thing, and maybe the best thing for Watson's camp, would be settle and in a way that doesn't leave anybody talking about it, and take your suspension and give it some time. Maybe you miss this whole season and you come back again next offseason and you get traded, because we have pretty short memories, especially whenever it's for a player that we think can really help any of our teams. and to settle and not have to drag this through court, I don't understand what the advantage would be to them actually fighting tooth and nail, unless they really thought there was a complete and total clear path for him to take. But with your point there, like, there's going to be something that's going to end up falling on Watson.
Do you know how insane it would be for them to take this to trial and have 20 different women give these accounts and give live deposition testimony and go on the witness stand and cry about their experiences? For Deshaun Watson to let that happen would be really surprising is, I guess, the best word. I mean, it would be shocking if his lawyer allowed him to do that. And, Josh, I mean, I guess that's point one. Point two, Michael Vick, right?
Yeah.
Michael Vick, you know, he did his time. He very quietly walked away. He took a settlement. He went to prison. And guess what? Michael Vick not only returned to the league, Michael Vick is on television. Michael Vick is doing interviews. Michael Vick is basically a commentator, right? He's in that space. So that tells you that if you have the talent and you can come back, you know, not to say I'm approving of this, but the NFL has said time and time again, we're going to let you back into our world if the talent prevails. So, you know, obviously, you know, maybe it's a two-strike league, three-strike league, but you know, people in the NFL get second chances if you have that type of talent. Deshaun Watson is in his early 20s. He's still got a lot of football left to play. So, yeah, I think the more you can do damage control at this point, the better.
Dan, it's always great to talk to you. I'm sorry that we introduced you in the way that we did and really, really took some of the gravitas away from all of the expertise that you brought to the table. In return, I can offer you the olive branch of please tell everybody where they can get all of the work that you're doing with Conduct Detrimental and everything else, that where people can follow you, where people can find your work if they're interested in more sports law stuff.
You guys can make it up to me with the shakaroni pizza. I knew I was going to get that reference in there. Okay, I keep track of what you guys do too.
I'm going to see.
Bring it back up.
I'm going to see if this is still available.
Okay, so while you're doing that, my podcast, Conduct Detrimental, we cover the intersection of sports and law. Josh, thank you for congratulating me. I've been named the professor of sports law at New York Law School. I appreciate that. Next time,
round of applause, right, Professor Lust. Beards, turn on your mic and start clapping.
Well, that's it, guys. It's always a pleasure coming on with you. Always a lot of fun. Happy to do it anytime.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
We'll talk to you again, Dan. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Follow him on Twitter at SportsLawLust. Seriously, it's just an incredible... You'll find out that stuff is happening by what Dan is tweeting about, which I think is honestly one of the best endorsements that I can give to anybody's Twitter. Of like, you might not see some of this stuff pop up anywhere else on your timeline, but Dan is plugged in on these things that are incredibly relevant, even if sometimes they're not the easiest thing to immediately comprehend. He does a super, super good job of making it digestible. And Beards thanked him by way of cutting him saying the word duty 50
all
times.
All I did was amplify every time he said duty.
I did hear that. And he blamed Rudy.
He
blamed Rudy for it.
To be fair, we had Dan out a lot when Beards took that 9-month vacation when I was running the board.
That makes it sound like he went and had a secret baby.
Well, he took a 9-month vacation. I don't know what to tell you.
Let's take a break.
What he did.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
I know he did.
He ate a lot of chicken strips and he played Dark Souls like 20 times.
He didn't talk to us at all for that entire 9-month vacation that he took.
I mean, it's a vacation. You don't talk to people, your fellow work employees on vacation.
I don't think fellow work employees is quite the colleagues.
No, fellow work associates.
Okay. And certainly not friends. Not in Rudy's book.
I mean, he didn't tell us he was getting engaged.
That's such a good point, you slimy little. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, I want to talk about a few things that Dan brought up there. We'll give you a halftime update of Suns Nugs.
We'll have to.
It's not a 20-point game, Rudy. Relax. We'll do it when we come back. I want to talk about some of the stuff that Dan brought up, talk about some of the stuff from Suns Nugs, and also I do have a couple of thoughts on the Deshaun Watson thing, kind of extrapolating on what we just talked about there with Dan. Follow him on Twitter, at SportsLawLust, and if you like that segment, just tweet him. You know what would be hilarious? Just tweet him the word duty, D-U-T-Y, but like 10 times. Just one tweet, not 10 tweets, just one tweet that just says D-U-T-Y, space, D-U-T-Y, space, D-U-T-Y, space, D-U-T-Y. He'll know. Father's Day is right around the corner and it's getting hot out. What you can do as a gift for your dad and for yourself, make sure you're both smelling nice and feeling good where it matters most. Make your dad proud this year. Get him and yourself the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 and the Refined Cologne by Manscaped. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 and Refined Cologne is perfect for you and the dad in your life and complete your grooming game.
You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. I've made this very clear on this radio show a number of times. I inherited lots of great traits from my dad that I'm very proud to have. Also, the body hair and the general sweatiness. I think those are both also genetic. And no joke, Manscaped has already helped me solve some of those problems. If that sounds familiar to you, go to manscaped.com and use the promo code ALMOST. The new Lawnmower 4.0 is ridiculous. The 3.0 is what I still got at home right now, and it's been fantastic. I don't know how they're going to improve on it, but they have. This fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. And if you or your dad travel a lot, the 4.0 is the perfect trimmer for home and on the go. This upgraded trimmer includes a multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, which is super handy, and it gives you the ability to turn on the LED spotlight on and off whenever you need to for a more precise shave. Plus, it's waterproof. Of course it's waterproof. You can now shave yourself in the dark, in the shower, or anywhere your heart desires. That incredible existence, as has become mine, can become yours if you go to manscaped.com and use the promo code ALMOST for 20% off and free shipping. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code ALMOST. You got a lot to thank your dad for. All the good traits, maybe some not so good ones. Fix those others with Manscaped. Promo code ALMOST at manscaped.com.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I love the idea of having a lottery tournament where teams are competing for draft picks, basically.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I would really watch that.
It would be more watched than whatever round of the playoffs it was going up against, as long as it wasn't the finals. I mean, like, let's say you got a boring Eastern and Western Conference final, but you've got Memphis versus New Orleans.
No, you're not including Phoenix in this.
You're missing the team here.
Okay.
LeBron James Lakers going up against whoever.
Devin Booker.
Yeah, Devin Booker's sons for the rights to Zion.
Devin Booker has sons already? I know. Sorry.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Bitch, you got to come up with a shorter version of that liner, man.
I disagree.
That liner's so long. And
I disagree.
It's so unfunny for so long.
That's the joke.
I'm with Beards on this one.
Rudy, can I get it? I wasn't paying as close attention to the game as you were because I was talking to Dan. Can you give me a brief update on what happened in the first half of Suns Nuggets? I genuinely do not know the score right now.
They suck. That's what happened.
Beards, can I get a halftime update from you at all, please?
Yeah.
What he said.
Loser.
What is the score? Someone stop bleeping around and tell me the score.
Hang on, I'll tell you.
The Suns have more points than the Nuggets.
What's the score, Rudy? You were reading me stats during the break, but I wasn't really
52-42 Phoenix.
It's a 10-point game, and Rudy, you would think that Rudy had his Nuggets stomped on.
4-for-20. If you watched it, which, hey, I understand why you weren't. You were doing an
interview. I was trying to do my job.
I understand. This game should be more than 10 points. Like, the Nuggets are lucky to only be down by 10 right now.
I'm trying to wave the Suns flag in front of Rudy's camera on the
It's getting there.
Just for Twitch. So give me the 3-point shooting again, please.
The Nuggets are 4-for-22 from 3. Here's the problem with it.
It's a 10-point game.
But here's the problem with it. It's not that they're missing open shots. All they are doing is shooting contested threes. Like, that's a good idea.
But
it's just such terrible offense.
If I'm building up your confidence here, because I don't want you to give up on this game.
It's over.
If I build up your confidence here, here's what I'll tell you.
Well, it's not going to build up my confidence.
They're a better shooting team than that.
But here's the thing.
Those shots are going to fall in the second half.
Not necessarily. But again, that's the thing. If they were open shots, absolutely. But they just keep shooting contested fadeaway shots.
They'll get there. Jokic has looked good.
Yes, he has. Jokic has played well. And Will Barton had a good 9 minutes off the bench, but also Will Barton's hurt, so I don't expect. He'll probably play more than 9 minutes in the second half. It's probably not going to be that much more.
Putting on my halftime Suns hat. If you're joining us just now, I've spent this entire show with my Phoenix Suns flag draped around my shoulders. Went ahead and added the hat now. Feeling pretty good about things.
Have you still not bought one of the Valley hats or jerseys or something?
Never t-shirts? Came back in stock. Never came back in stock. It's my phone background, but the hats never came back in stock. You know what I did buy, and at least one of them got delivered. You know what? I meant to tell this anecdote after the first series on that Friday that you were gone, Beards, but I completely forgot about it. So this is a somewhat vulnerable story. So everybody perk up, Beards. You can mark in advance if you want.
No,
it's just that I was on the way home from here to get home for game 6, which is when the Suns ultimately clinched over the Lakers.
Yeah, they did.
There is a you know what, Beards? Yeah, they did.
Say, Beards, good more point, excited Beards. Than you are.
Well, blink the Lakers.
It's because I know where this story goes.
Oof. That's fair.
And across just sort of like a block or two down, that's a couple blocks down the street from my house, recently they opened up a Taco Bell, which is great because there wasn't a lot of great options right
home,
there. And it's
home of Nikola Jokic.
That's right. The MVP Quesarito. And it's been, you know, I've gone by there a good number of times since it's opened up because it's open late. Yep. The show goes late. So it's always there for me. As previously discussed with Matt Verderam and Matt Greenbranch in shows past. And so on the way home there, it was right there, and it just sounded good. And at some point recently, girlfriend Renee was really the one to find this out. I can blame her for at least the very beginning part. You can get the Baja Blast, right? That's like the Taco Bell calling card in terms of beverages. Beards, have you ever had Baja Blast in your life? And so Baja Blast is pretty good, but also you take that home with you, you are only one ingredient away from creating what I have called the Vodka Blast.
Is it gin?
Nope, it's not whiskey, gin, or rum, or tequila, or Everclear, or rubbing alcohol.
A seltzer?
What about a malt liquor?
So you just drop a little vodka in your Baja Blast. You get yourself a little vodka blast.
Oh, vodka!
A little vodka blast.
Ah.
So vodka blast.
It's in the name.
Big bag of Taco Bell food.
I get it.
So, you should work in marketing.
I should. I got two large vodka blasts. Two large Baja blasts that then turned into vodka blasts. Made a pretty good dent in mine before Renee even got back. And I did spend... I hadn't eaten in a while. It was just one of those times where it sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it just sneaks up on you. It doesn't happen to me very often. Snuck up on me around game 6. Halftime, let's go ahead and top this sucker up again. We're feeling pretty good right now. Anthony Davis isn't coming back. I feel like the Suns are going to win this game. And I watched a good portion of the third quarter very attentively, but horizontal on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually back up, full kind of hunched over like... You know, the aggressive video game pose where you're really locked in.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, I spent the fourth quarter doing that. The game ended. And then I did drunkenly purchase two new Phoenix Suns t-shirts on the internet moments after they clinched the series.
I don't blame you.
One of them got in today. I think it may have actually both. But one of them got in before I left today. And I washed. I almost wore it, but I wanted to wash it first because, I don't know.
I do the same thing.
Because I just did.
Yeah. I do the exact same thing.
And one time I wore a shirt without washing it first, and I sweat so much. This was pre my armpits getting zapped. I sweat so much that it got permanent pit stain that I'm guessing wouldn't have been there if I would have washed it before ever sweating into it.
Yeah.
But I bought several, and one of them, I'm going to tell you the one that I bought that came in today is like sort of Phoenix Suns, but mostly Pac-Man.
Checks out.
Do go on.
Well, so you can Google. I think it's the brand is like Junk Food or something like that. But if you Google Phoenix Suns Pac-Man shirt, I'm sure you're going to. Yeah, it's the first one there. It's the purple one. And I don't know.
It's the black.
It's the purple version.
Oh, the purple version. Interesting.
So I'm going to explain it.
Hmm.
It's got a. I'm guessing they made these for all the teams, but it's a big, a cartoonish Pac-Man who is spinning a basketball on his finger. It says high score. There's a pixelated NBA logo. It's all in orange, and it's a purple shirt. There's a little Suns logo, and then underneath it says Suns Phoenix, and then on the back is another Pac-Man, a little Suns pixelated logo, and a Pac-Man ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I look at this shirt right now and I think, is this worth $35? I'm not sure. I looked at this shirt and another one that is not quite as eclectic, but is definitely very 90s.
They also have Mickey Mouse themed
t-shirts. There's also some Marvel. The NBA's got some weird licensing deals. But I immediately after the game, I was riding the endorphin high of the Suns winning a playoff series and then also a nice big vodka blast. And so I did, in fact, purchase two new Suns shirts immediately after that. And I will be wearing them most of the time for the remainder of at least the playoffs as the Suns, until I can buy my NBA champion shirts.
I mean, it's fair. That's smart.
So that was my... that was my endeavor that I took on. The shirt has, I'm actually very excited about now. It's very weird. I'm not completely sure why I decided that was the exact Sun shirt I wanted to get.
That was the one, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, to be clear, it fits the brand pretty straightforward, I think. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Of the people in your life that might wear an NBA Pac-Man t-shirt crossover, relatively on brand, but...
I'm shocked you didn't get the acid-stained long sleeve. Or tie-dye, whatever.
Where are you seeing that?
Down at like the very bottom of their NBA collection page.
Which website is this on?
It's the junk food.
I didn't order from. I ordered it through the Sun Shop site.
Through store.nba.com.
But I'm back on the junk food site now because I do like how this shirt felt.
It's a long sleeve T-shirt.
Oh, I just saw the Bulls one, and it is excellent.
It's like at the very bottom of the list.
Almost all of these are incredibly good. And yeah, lots of Mickey, huh? Oh, dude, yeah. The tie-dye long sleeve is absolutely killer. That might be happening. We'll see. Maybe they wrap up this game tonight. Maybe we'll have a little Suns merch party.
Vodka Blast Part 2.
Yeah.
I just found the Denver Nuggets high score Pac-Man shirt.
Is it everything you dreamed?
It's everything I would have dreamed. So you are right, though. They do have them in all the teams, I would assume. I did find, though, like the Denver Nuggets.
The Mickey ones are
rainbow
so
skyline
weird.
Hat.
Wow, also good excellent. Hat. Also super good.
It's a good hat.
The Nuggets have good merch.
I had a great Nuggets retro like snapback hat back in the day that I don't know what's happened to it. Like, I lost it somewhere along the way, and it's sad because that hat fit perfectly.
Ugh.
It looked great. It was white with the skyline, with the rainbow skyline. Like, it was a beautiful hat.
You gotta search high and low and find the closest you can get to that.
I've tried, and I can't find it anywhere.
Thanks to Ryan on Twitch for saying, I think the Pac-Man one is a great shirt. Thank you, Ryan. I needed a little boost on that one right now. Also, so Ryan did also pick up the you know what he did? You know what Ryan did last commercial break?
Oh, that's a lot of money.
He did his duty. And tweeted duty, 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 duty at Dan, and then Dan responded by blaming Rudy with an assist to me when it was all really Beards' fault.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And then Dan said, the trifecta of duty gate is complete. And I think that a duty gate sounds like a euphemism for your butt. If I'm being honest.
I mean.
Am I wrong?
No.
I think a duty gate sounds like a euphemism for your butt.
You are not wrong.
Your butt cheeks are the gate. Yeah. And that's the end of the explanation. You get it? Duty gate.
I get it.
Beards looks so disappointed in me. It's unbelievable. I've often joked that I've often joked, honestly, that I talk to Beards more often and have talked to Beards more often over the last several years than I've probably talked to my own mom and dad. But yeah. I've never gotten quite the energy of disappointment from all of them equally as I did in this moment. It was like they were here with me, being disappointed from the other side of two panes of glass. What are you grimacing at, Rudy? You've got a grimace.
Probably the game.
I mean, is it back on?
Yes, it is actually back.
It's too expensive. I just found the thing that I wanted in my life so bad, man.
Is it a legitimate MVP instead of a fake one?
It's a short sleeved hoodie. It's beautiful.
And it's $100.
But it's $100.
Oh man, listen, man, spend those $45 bucks. Ooh, it's $100. It's Michelin Ness.
It's so perfect.
There's also a
Dikembe Mutombo one that's also very good. It's 110.
We got to set up like a Twitch tip jar that's exclusively to buy us cool NBA clothes. Because I've got...
We each change the plan. It doesn't necessarily have to be NBA clothes. We just each get a thing at any given time. It's just like your tipping to fund this project.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I've had this open in a tab for a while now. It's also Mitchell and Ness, but it is a mesh jersey throwback to Steve Nash. Yeah. I mean, it's the old school.
Is that a baseball jersey kind of thing?
Sort of. It's a pullover, so it's all mesh, but there's no buttons on the front or anything.
Yeah.
But it does have sleeves, so I could like wear it as a shirt in public, unlike basketball jerseys that I cannot fully pull off.
These shorts are a lot.
I like them a lot. Mitchell and Ness stuff is so good, man.
I bet they have Suns ones like that, the Jumbotron shorts.
They might, but the question isn't do they have good merch. It's do I have good money.
Here's a Mitchell and Ness Jumbotron shirt. It's a lot.
It actually refreshed when you turned your computer around, and so I didn't see it. But because it's an audio medium, wow, Rudy, that's incredible.
So nice, right?
So nice.
So nice. $80 for a Mitchell and Ness tank top.
We don't have that kind of life right now.
Oof.
Maybe someday, Rudy. Until then, all you can do, try to save up some money, keep that glimmer in your eye, and no matter what, do your duty.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I have a lot of whips.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beards is choosing violence today. Yeah. Jeez.
Can't hurt me more than I'm already hurt.
Yeah, true. So I looked up the third quarter started of Suns Nuggets. It's 65-46 right now. Oh, you know what? I'm going to give this a second. We got a little Jay Crowder from a mile away. No good.
You remember when...
I mean, that might happen. Because I can't do play-by-play.
When
Michael Porter Jr. just asked out of the game. How does that make you feel?
Good. I don't want him playing. He shouldn't be playing. Have you seen him?
All right. So my
Mikal Bridges Scott said that like you should be wanting to play the Trailblazers because they're just the worst team. The Nuggets are actually a good team. Scott might have been wrong.
We got to get to Tony Sands here momentarily. I'm really looking forward to letting you all hear from him in about 5 minutes or so. Also, we're going to 11 tonight, also worth noting. One more thing, though. I want to mention this before I forget. As the Suns are at 65 points right now, I was hoping we might see a score, maybe four more. I'd like to wish a very nice, nice day to everybody listening right now. Not only is it hump day, it's also 6-9.
Nice.
I mean, every day should be a nice day.
I don't know what kind of lifestyle you're living, Beards. Yeah. Hold on.
I just want one nice day a year. I just need one.
I just wish someone would explain to me what all the fuss about these funny numbers is about, because I'm super confused.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.